In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Please be seated. Well, this morning we heard a story from the book of Acts. It was a very short snippet that Pam read really wonderfully. But the story is kind of a grim one. It's a story of the first Christian martyr, St. Stephen. We don't really know a whole lot about Stephen. What we know about him is found almost entirely in the book of Acts. We know that he was a Hellenistic Jew. Now, this term may seem kind of funny for us, because what does that term mean? Well, it means that he was ethnically Judean. But probably he was born outside of Palestine in the first century. So somewhere else in the eastern part of the Roman Empire, in one of the Greek-speaking areas. So he's basically, he might have been ethnically Judean, but he was culturally Greek. The book of Acts tells us that Stephen was one of seven deacons ordained by the apostles to distribute food and aid to the poor. Something that even deacons today are called to do, to be that bridge between the church and the world. Although, don't worry, Bob, we will only be martyring one deacon today. Now, the Orthodox say that he was the eldest of the seven deacons. How do we know this? Your guess is as good as mine on that one. But because of that, they say, well, he must have been an archdeacon. Sure, why not? What Acts does tell us is that Stephen was full of faith in the Holy Spirit and he performed miracles. But he was also one who spoke the truth and he got into some trouble. Now, how he got into some trouble was he was at a synagogue proclaiming Jesus and talking about how Jesus opens up, how the gospel opens up salvation for all people. And he began to debate with the leaders of the synagogue. Well, the problem was he started to best them. He started to win these debates, and they weren't so thrilled about it. So they dragged him before the Sanhedrin. Now, the Sanhedrin was kind of like a religious court of the day. So he goes before the Sanhedrin, and right before the passage that we got today, we get Stephen's testimony in Acts. And in his testimony before the Sanhedrin, he recounts the story of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph in the book of Genesis. And he talks about Moses and Joshua. And he quotes the prophets. And he does this in such a way to talk about how all the scriptures are being fulfilled in Jesus in a way that opens it up to all people. And then he tells the Sanhedrin, "You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you are forever opposing the Holy Spirit just as your ancestors used to do. Which of the prophets did your ancestors not persecute? They killed those who foretold the coming of the righteous one. And now you have become his betrayers and murderers. You are the ones that received the law as ordained by angels. And yet you have not kept it." Well, not surprisingly, they weren't too thrilled with this testimony. So this is where they dragged him out and they stoned him. And I love the very end of this, not because he gets killed, but because the very last thing he says is, similar to Jesus' words, "Forgive them." And Stephen, in this first martyrdom, reflects that embodiment of Christ. Now, the story of St. Stephen can teach us two things. Now, the first thing it can teach us is that God's story, that is the story of the patriarchs, oh, for that matter, the matriarchs, I mean, it is Mother's Day, got to give them some credit too. The story of the prophets, this story is a story of mercy and salvation. And the second thing this story can teach us is that God's story of salvation, when taken up by people, can sometimes become more rigid over time. Stephen's testimony is a reaction to the Gentiles being left out. Now, religious leaders of the time had used scripture wrongly to shut them out, and this is what he's talking about. But their thought was, hey, this story of the Hebrew Bible, what we would call the Old Testament, it's our story, it's our people, our God, our salvation, and nobody gets a piece of the pie but us. And Stephen is saying that all of these things were about everyone's salvation. And he quotes Isaiah in his testimony. The prophet, God says through the prophet Isaiah, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Did not my hand make all these things? Well, this was a story of twisting of faith. And I'd like to say that twisting of faith is something that is isolated to the first century. But of course, we know that wherever faith is practiced, sometimes it's practiced wrongly. And sometimes twisting still happens. And faith is used to exclude. One example of this is a misuse of another reading we got today. Today's gospel reading. In the reading, Jesus says these words, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Now, this passage is an interesting one, because it talks about salvation through Jesus. Now, all Christians can probably agree on one fact, that Jesus is the way of salvation. But where this may diverge is that this passage could be taken two separate ways. Somebody might read, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus. And they might say, one, if you don't believe in Jesus, usually the way I believe in Jesus, you're left out in the cold. Or maybe the hot, if you know what I mean. The other way, though, is that Jesus opens the way for all people. And when we talk about belief, we don't talk about it in a superficial way, but as a deeper idea of belief. Now, this first interpretation of this passage can be problematic because it creates exclusivity. And exclusivity is antithetical to the gospel message. Remember, all through Jesus' teaching, he's out there healing Gentiles and outcasts from society, and it just doesn't quite work with the way the gospel does. And it also begs a question. It begs a question about what does belief in Jesus mean? Now, if we try to take a very simplistic idea of what belief in Jesus means, we're going to come up with all kinds of answers. Does belief in Jesus mean just what we say in the Nicene Creed or in the Apostles' Creed? Does belief in Jesus mean I'm going to have to, in a few minutes, have an altar call, we're all going to sing Just As I Am and come up here? Or maybe it's about that age-old question, that age-old debate in Christianity about whether we are saved through faith or through works. And there become so many problems about what belief is. But if we look at the second interpretation, that is the idea that Jesus opens the way for all people and belief is a deeper concept, then we can put aside all this hair-splitting. But it also forces us to do something. It forces us to think about who Jesus really is. Now, Christian doctrine holds that the world is saved through the incarnation, death, resurrection, and ascension of God as manifested in the person of Jesus of Nazareth. We can all agree on that. In fact, Jesus even says in this very passage, whoever has seen me has seen the Father. What does it mean to believe in Jesus? Well, to believe in Jesus is to fully understand who Jesus Christ is. And Jesus is not just some guy from first century Palestine. Now, yes, he was some guy from first century Palestine, but that is not the whole of who Jesus is. Jesus Christ is the embodiment of love, grace, mercy, compassion, and forgiveness. And wherever we see those things, we see Christ. And whoever does those things does Jesus' will. And whoever understands those things, whether or not they may even know who that guy from first century Palestine was, they understand Christ. And whoever believes in those values believes in Christ. This reminds me a little bit of Matthew chapter 25, the parable of the sheep and the goats. And I won't go through the whole parable. But basically, at the end of the parable, the righteous people look at Jesus and they say, I don't remember doing all these nice things for you. And Jesus said, oh yes, when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was in prison, you visited me. And then Jesus looks at the unrighteous and they said, hey, we were doing all these things, weren't we? We were proclaiming your name. And Jesus said, but when I was hungry, you didn't feed me. When I was thirsty, you didn't give me something to drink. When I was naked, you did not clothe me. And when I was in prison, you did not visit me. And this pulls out the ironic part of all this. And that is that even those who may proclaim the person of Jesus Christ, if they do not practice love, grace, mercy, compassion, and forgiveness, may not truly believe in Christ. And all of this is a reminder to those of us who proclaim Jesus that the good news of Jesus Christ, the gospel, is meant to be good. It is not a message of exclusion, but it is a message of inclusion. The gospel is a story of how Jesus makes all things right and opens the door of salvation and brings all people closer to God. But we as people of faith also must remember another thing. We must remember who Jesus Christ is and to believe in Christ. Not only the person, but the wholeness of who Christ is. Amen.